Our first scripture reading this evening is from the Hebrew Testament, from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. But there will be no darkness for those who were in trouble. Earlier, he did bring the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali into disrepute. But the time is coming when he will make that whole area glorious. The road along the sea, the country past the Jordan, international Galilee. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in a land of deep shadows, light. Sunbursts of light. You repopulated the nation. You expanded its joy. Oh, they are so glad in your presence. Festival joy, the joy of a great celebration, sharing rich gifts and warm greetings. And then from the New Testament, from the Gospel according to John, the first chapter, the first 5 verses. The Word was first. The Word present to God. And God present to the Word. The Word was God. In readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through Him. Nothing, not one thing came into being without Him. What came into existence was life. And the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness could not put it out. Here ends the reading. May God help us to really understand and apply God's will to our lives this very evening. Friends, brother and sister in Christ, the Christmas story in the Bible tells about three wise men who were seeking Jesus. Many people in our times are exactly like those three wise men. It's now 2,000 years later, and wise men and women are still seeking Jesus. I even dare to hope that for the same reason many of us are here this Christmas Eve, foregoing other pleasures. After all, is that not what Christmas should be all about? Now, just for a moment, please imagine what would have happened if the three biblical seekers were three wise women instead of three wise men. Well, they would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought practical gifts. And almost let me tell you about little 7-year-old Timothy, who missed church because of a sore throat. So when the family returned home after church, they were talking about seeing Jesus. And the little boy wanted to know why. And Dad tried to explain. He said, "Well, Timothy, you see, we had an Advent service and we saw the baby Jesus in the manger." "Wouldn't you know it?" the little boy fumed. "The one Sunday I don't go, he shows up." Long ago, the prophet Isaiah prophesied that real light would be coming into the world. Isaiah said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." And in the Gospel of John, we read the joyful statement, "The life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out." For us as Christians, Jesus is indeed the light of the world, piercing into our personal darkness. Friend, Do you know that it cost Jesus more than we can ever imagine letting that light shine? Long ago he scared the scribes and Pharisees of his time by shining light into their darkness and by revealing how depraved, false, and dark their superstitions and prejudices were. Jesus also scared the political rulers of his time, because for the first time in centuries, he spoke about justice for the poor. He spoke about love rather than hate. He proclaimed light rather than darkness. Do you remember that Jesus refused to look down upon the Samaritan woman at the well? He even ate with sinners, and he kneeled down to lift up a woman of the streets. And later he was arrested, he was accused, he was condemned, and eventually he was murdered. The cross on Calvary ended his earthly life. However, it was not Jesus, but the darkness that suffered defeat. The light kept shining. And since then, the world discovered that Jesus could not be killed. Never. Not then. Not now. The light had come to stay, and darkness would eventually rule no more. And that's what goes through our minds tonight as we still see so much darkness around us. That is at the core of our faith. Eventually, darkness shall rule no more, because he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. The light that Jesus brought originates from beyond the stars. And we believe that that light shone directly from the heart of God. So when we call Jesus the light of the world, we ascribe to him the ability to transform our world from one of darkness and despair to one of hope and joy. As you heard in our reading, the Gospel of John put it this way. He said, "The life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out." The ancient prophecy of the prophet Isaiah foretold that a son would be born to us, that authority would rest upon his shoulders, and that he would be called the Prince of Peace. And all this became reality in the birth, the ministry, and finally the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And every time when you and I pray the Lord's Prayer like we just did, we say, "Let your kingdom come." We pray, "Let your kingdom come." And often through our tears, "O God, let your kingdom come." We pray for a better world where justice and peace will forever ban the misery, the pain, and the injustice of war, of poverty, and the helplessness of a suffering world. And every time when we hear of another senseless death, every time when we hear about another injustice, every time when we peep into the midnight darkness, we pray, "O God, let your kingdom come." Isaiah's vision tells of endless peace in a world governed by God's love and peace. So here we are, another Christmas Eve. We are celebrating. How great to celebrate in the presence of our loved ones. I've been standing here for more than 7 years. And all strangers were sitting here 7 years ago. Tonight I cannot believe all the love, all the warmth, all the joy that we have experienced during the past year in this sanctuary, the sanctuary that we love so much. How great, what a privilege to know that many of you far away from home are here with us, because you say, "Sir, we would see Jesus. Sir, we would celebrate Jesus in the manger." So in spite of all the confusion, all the opposition, and all the darkness, that is the message of this evening. We wait, we hope, and we yearn for a day when oppression will be no more, and when God's people across the world will live in dignity, in peace, and in freedom. Tonight we are celebrating the birth of Jesus, not only in a manger so long ago, but also a birth into our hearts, part of our hopes, the object of our prayers and our dreams. O be with us, Jesus Christ. Let your light shine upon us and make this evening peaceful, and prepare us for whatever you want us to do in your service tonight, tomorrow, and in times to come. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a moment. Divine Spirit, we are now before you with that unborn part of us, leaping with joy and expectancy at the wonder of this birth, this new beginning, this coming of the Promised One. It is you who invite each of us to kneel at the manger and to receive your gifts of love, grace, and peace. Enable us this very moment to be like children again, to share in the simplicity of the stable, the innocence of a young girl, and the wonder of this birth. For it is in the still darkness of the night that we feel your hand holding ours. And even as we feel the pangs of new birth and the struggle to breathe in the breath of life, right now, O God, through your Spirit, make this moment a time of deep spiritual renewal for us all. And hear us as we pray. Enable all who are sick, weary, lonely, or heavy laden to look up and see the star shining brightly over the manger. Help us to see what gifts of ourselves we can offer to a hurting world. Our prayer at this joyous time is in the name of the child for us, the light of the world. Your people are before you, O God. And we dedicate our lives anew to you, our only hope for the future. We do so with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, Amen.